of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you know what? He's here tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be back with you at Taylor County. This is almost like coming home for me. Been here so much, and just down the road is where I met my wife 31 years ago. Listen to this, kids, in a camp meeting. You never know what's going to happen to you at camp meeting this week. And it's not just the kids, by the way. So I was saved in camp meeting, sanctified in camp meeting, called to preach in camp meeting, and met Tammy in camp meeting. So I love camp meeting. Great to be back with you here tonight. Thank you, Lee, and the camp board for the invite, and just excited to be with you and to share God's word. Get your Bibles tonight. Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to start. Philippians chapter 3. Some of you have been asking about Tammy. She'll be with us on Monday and be here for the rest of the camp. I have to behave. I do have my in-laws over here tonight. So, Robert and Gail, good to see you. Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to take our lesson from. So get that. And while you're getting the scripture, I'm going to read another passage to you. I'm not going to preach this, but I want to share it because back in January of this year, during a time of just intense prayer and fasting, God just spoke to me in a way that He had never spoken to me before. And I've been sharing every week I'm out what He said to me, and it's Isaiah 43. Just listen, this is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. How many know our God has a good track record? He'll come through for you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And then you come to verse 19, Isaiah 43, see, I am doing a new thing. And I really like the King James wording there a little bit better. It says, behold. And you know what that word means? It means, hey, listen up. I've got something to say to you. Forget the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And I've just prayed as I came in here tonight. I'm right with you, Brother Lee. Wouldn't it be something if this is the week that Almighty God just opened the windows of heaven and let the glory fall in a way maybe that we've never experienced before? So let's just be wide open. I promise that's the way I'm going into camp meeting this year. Philippians chapter 3. Let's stand in honor of God's word. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read down through verse 11. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. Now we come to the one of those interesting verses in all of Scripture. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, Paul says, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, Paul said, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, Paul said, I was faultless or perfect. But now the whole tenor of the chapter changes in verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So here's what I want to preach to you tonight. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray Your blessing on Your word as it goes forth tonight. And God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would rain down fresh on Taylor County Camp Meeting. You've met with us here time and time and time again in the past. Only heaven will be able to reveal all the victories that have been won around these altars and on these grounds. But Lord, tonight we're praying that, Lord, You would reveal Yourself in new revelation in a fresh way tonight. So anoint this word as it goes forth. And Lord, give us a spirit of obedience to say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will tonight, to Your way. We're wide open. We want everything You have for us. So, Lord, we're trusting You for victory this night at camp meeting in Christ's name. And everyone in agreement say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The subject is very simple tonight. Let's just start with Jesus. As we begin Taylor County Camp Meeting 2017, let's just start with Jesus. And as we get into this, maybe the message is more, let's get back to Jesus. And to get going, I'm going to give you an illustration that may seem a little odd, may seem a little lengthy, but I think if you'll stay with me and track with me in the spiritual realm, make the analogy, I think we'll all be on the same page when we get done tonight. I'm going to use the metaphor of a river. And it's a river that we're all, I think, very familiar with, an American river, the Mississippi River. And we're going to trace its journey down through the United States. And as I do that, I'm going to show you the past 2,000 years of church history. Now understand where we started 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the message is, let's get back to Jesus. Let's start with Jesus. Here's the illustration. You have to go two-thirds of the way up the state of Minnesota. Kind of interesting, isn't it? If you're going to journey on the Mississippi to go where it starts, you have to go all the way up north, about two-thirds of the way up the state of Minnesota. There's literally a place where water is gurgling straight up out of the ground. And it is crystal clear. You can actually get down on your knees. You can cup your hands and you can drink this water. I promise you it's safe. It's clean, it's pure, it's better than bottled water from a health food store. And if you can believe it or not, you're drinking water from the Mississippi River. It's where it starts. But now let's head on down the river a ways. By the time the Mississippi River gets to the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, that river has now grown to over a city block wide. Barges and boats are in the river. Livestock have been in the river. There's chemical plants and there's industry that lines the river, and who knows what has gotten into the water. Here's a pleasant thought to start camp meeting with. Toilets have been flushed in the river. Now here's a thought By the time the Mississippi River gets to Minneapolis, St. Paul, I would suggest don't drink the water. Are you with me? Now again, as we go through this, I want you to be making the spiritual application. We're talking about church history. For the last 2,000 years, we started with Jesus. Come to me. I'll give you living water. It's clean. It's pure. You can have as much as you want. But now we get on down the river. The Mississippi takes that big turn. And it heads over there towards Wisconsin. And then it goes due south as it forms the borders of Illinois and Iowa. And get this, by the time it gets to the Quad Cities of Illinois and Iowa, other rivers start emptying into the Mississippi River. You have the Red River and the Cedar River and the Iowa River, the Illinois River. You've got water now coming all the way down from Chicago emptying into the Mississippi River. You know that's some good stuff. You see what I'm saying? Other rivers are converging and flowing into the Mississippi River. We're headed down towards St. Louis. And now the river in places is over a mile in width. Barges and boats are in it. Bridges and freeways span over it. It's heading on down to Memphis, Tennessee. And you have water all the way from the northeast, New York, Pennsylvania, flowing down, headed towards the Mississippi. Think of all those steel mills that line the rivers up there in Pennsylvania, down past the coal mines in West Virginia, the Ohio River, and heading on down south. You have water from Georgia, Alabama, going up into the Tennessee basin, and flowing through Nashville, all headed over towards Memphis to the Mississippi River. You have water from the west, coming as far away as Colorado, Nebraska, coming down through the Missouri basin, through Kansas City. It's all headed towards the Mississippi. Now, think of all the industry waste that is spilled into the river. Think of all the livestock that have been in the river. Millions of toilets have been flushed in the river. You get to Memphis, and that river is so big, ships can actually come up the river by tugboat from the Gulf of Mexico. And then, when the river enters the state that bears its name, something very interesting takes place. It's no longer considered a river, because all the rivers of Dixie in the east, all the rivers of Texas in the west, converge, and you have a confluence of water. It's no longer considered a river. It's considered a system of rivers. And we actually have a name for it. We call it the Delta. I told you the illustration was a little odd, maybe. Maybe a little lengthy, but I hope you tracked with me spiritually. I'm talking about the past 2,000 years of church history. We started with Jesus up in Minnesota. On this rock, I'll build my church. The water's pure. You can have as much as you want. But here's what I have to announce to you on the first night of camp meeting. In 2017, in America, we live in the Delta. The river is no longer as pure as it started out to be. And the church has become a system of rivers. Are you tracking with me? I don't have near enough time to give you a complete chronology of church history, but let's bring it a little closer to where all of us plug into it. Let's go back at least to the Protestant Reformation. Now, watch this. You have rivers coming into the river of God with names like Luther. Come a little further. You have rivers coming into this river of God with names like Calvin, with names like Wesley. Now understand, that's not a bad thing. Because actually in the Protestant Reformation days, the church was probably as corrupt as it's ever been. And these were attempts to
purify the water, if you please. But I want you to hear this message tonight in the context of us coming together at a holiness camp meeting, because there's some people that think John Wesley invented our holiness message. Folks, I want a holiness that goes back beyond John Wesley. Can I get an amen? I want to go back to the Holy One Himself, Jesus Christ. Come a little closer. How about camp meeting days? We love camp meeting. Camp meetings in the American format that we do this have only been around for 200 years. 200 years. Some of your churches, we have different name tags in here tonight. It's always fun when we gather in these kind of meetings. It's not about what the name tag on our church is. We're children of God. We're Christians. But a lot of the churches that we attend, they've just got into the river 100 years ago. So let's bring it right to where we are tonight. We're not here to defend a doctrine. We're not here to defend rules and regulations. We're not here to argue over contemporary music or traditional music. It's not about whether you light candles in a service or you don't light candles in a service. The message is simply this: we got to quit fussing and fighting about all the junk that's in the river and get back to Jesus. Because that's where it starts. Now let's go back to this scripture and apply the analogy that we've just given. And I think you're going to find this kind of interesting. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. Get the context. This is only a few years after Jesus left this world. The champion of love that Charles sung about, hung on the cross, died, rose again. Now we're just 20, 30 years past the time of His ascension. The early New Testament church is growing and spreading. Missionaries are taking the gospel into all the world. And Gentiles have gotten saved. And here's Paul's message to the church at Philippi. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Now here comes that interesting verse of scripture. Watch out for those dogs. You know what he's saying right there? Watch out for people that throw garbage in the river. This is only 20, 30 years after Jesus left this world, and you've already got people putting junk in the river. They're polluting the gospel. Now here's what's happening back in this day and time. Judaizers from Jerusalem hear that there are new Christ followers, Gentiles, in Philippi, and they want to kind of straighten them out. And so they say to them basically, it's wonderful that you've decided to be a Christ follower, but if you're really going to be a Christian, you have to observe our law. You have to follow our traditions, our rituals. You have to observe our holy days. They told the grown Gentile men, you have to be circumcised. Now maybe it's just me, but I'd say the grown men at Philippi in the church were probably pretty excited when the Apostle Paul came for a revival meeting. You don't have to be circumcised. Now look what you dirty dogs is what he's basically saying here to these Judaizers. Watch out for those dogs. He identifies them, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Wouldn't you love to hear the Apostle Paul preach in America in 2017? I promise you he wouldn't be politically correct one bit. I mean, he just calls it as it is. You dirty dogs, you mutilators of the flesh. He says in verse 3, it is we who are the true circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, here it is, who glory in Christ Jesus. Just 20, 30 years after Christ left this world, Paul's having to say, let's get back to Jesus. Let's start with Jesus. And let me just throw this in tonight. You realize the gospel is Jesus plus nothing? Everybody okay? Anytime we start adding to Jesus, we pervert the gospel. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. We glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And then in verse 4, Paul starts a little testimony. And all we're going to do, Paul's going to give a quick testimony. I'm going to give a quick testimony. And then I'm going to ask every one of us in here tonight to look at our lives in light of the pure message of the gospel. And maybe just take a little inventory and see if we've allowed some junk to get in the river. See if we've allowed something to kind of stand in the way of what the main thing really is. Let's start with Jesus. Let's get back to Jesus. Here's Paul's testimony. He said, you want to talk legalism? He said to these Judaizers, I can talk that language better than you can. Look at verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then Paul kind of just gives his pedigree here. And just real quick, you know, he's basically a citizen of two countries. His father worked for the Roman Empire. He was a tent maker, so he supplied the military with tents, with their housing. And because his father had such good standing with the Roman Empire, the family was able to send their son, Paul, back to Jerusalem for his education. And he didn't just go to any little community college. He is tutored by the most significant rabbi of the day, that man we call Gamaliel. And so he's a leading citizen. Paul says, I have reasons to boast, if you want to talk that language. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews. Now I'm just pausing there because when Paul says this, he blows these Judaizers out of the water. They're proud of their heritage. Jews are of the tribe of Judah. The tribe of David. But Paul goes back beyond. He says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews. And they all kind of had to, yeah, he's got us there. He's got bluer blood in this than we do. So now they have to listen to the guy. And he said, if you want to talk that kind of language, he said, I did it. I did more of it than you did. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. I was perfect. And here's what Paul's saying. I thought I had it right. But, verse 7, I thought I was doing church the right way. I thought I had this religion all figured out. But whatever was to my profit, it's a financial term. Whatever was to my gain, I thought I had it right. I thought I had it figured out. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. Again, it's a financial term. It's a debit. I thought I was making it, found out I was losing it. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. You know Paul's testimony. Thinks he has it all together, thinks he's doing church the right way, has all this religion stuff down pat, and God knocked him off his horse. You remember that? And Paul said, oh, once I experienced Jesus, once I got face to face with Jesus, my life's never been the same. Everything I thought was right, I now consider loss. What is more, verse 8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And you got to get this. When Paul later will say, I want to know Christ, he's not talking about knowing more about Him. And when I give you my testimony here in a moment, I'm not going to be saying, I want to know more about Jesus at Taylor County Camp this week. We're so good at that. With all of our teaching, with all of our preaching, and all of our education. No, it's not knowing more about Him. Paul was saying, I'm going to say to you tonight, I want to know Him in a more intimate way than I've ever experienced before. Oh, I want to know Him in the power, even of His resurrection, Paul was going to say. Paul says, I consider everything a loss. Now again, in a moment, I'm going to ask you what it might be that stands in the way of you knowing Christ in the most intimate way possible tonight. And there's probably going to be some of you saying, well, there's a lot of good things in my life, preacher, and there's a lot of good things in my family and my church. Get the contrast. There may be some good things in our lives, but in comparison to knowing Christ, everything pales. Even the good stuff. I consider it all a loss. Now, I love this. Here's the Apostle Paul, verse 8. He's like any good preacher. As he's preaching away, he's kind of looking the congregation over, and he's thinking they're not getting it. And anybody that's ever been up here and preached, you've been through that before. I mean, you see everything, by the way, when you're up here preaching. You see all the heads that are nodding with you. You see the ones that are kind of nodding side to side. You see this all the time when the watches are being... And it's like the Apostle Paul was saying, they're not getting it. And so like any good preacher, he's going to change the language. And I guarantee you, he wakes them up on this next sentence. He's already said, I consider everything a loss, a debit. But now look there in verse 8. Paul says, I have lost all things to the point I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I promise you, he woke them up on that one. The word translated is dung. You need help? Body waste. How about the American English translation, common usage? It's crap! Now listen, church, don't you get offended. Get convicted. Because in a moment, I'm going to ask you, what is it you've allowed in your life? And you may think it's what it's all about, and it's where you're putting your money, and it's where you're putting your time, and it's where all your energy is, compared to Christ, compared to knowing Him. Paul's saying, it's rubbish. And he goes on to say, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, even in the fellowship of His sufferings. No amens there. Now, I promise, we have a seminar this week on the power. We'll probably have a full house. How about a seminar on sharing in the fellowship of His sufferings? Not many people are going to sign up for that one. Especially in the American church. We got it made in the shade, honey. Compared to what else is out there today. Paul's going to say, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection, even in the fellowship of His sufferings, when you're going through the hardest, most difficult place you've ever had to go through in life. He can be with you in power, in companionship, in strength. And we know the best is yet to come one day. Will attain even to the resurrection from the dead. That's Paul's testimony. I want to know Christ. Let me give you mine real quick, and then I'm going to ask you again to take some inventory tonight as we start camp meeting. Let's get back to Jesus, where the water's clean, where the water's pure. You can have as much as you want. I stand here before you tonight, and I testify I am a blessed man. I cannot give God enough praise. He's been so good to me. And I stand here and tell you tonight, every good thing in my life goes back to that moment I started with Jesus. Every good thing. I grew up in the hills of southern West Virginia. Tammy always tells me West Virginia must be a good place to be from. Because she said, all of you, you love the state and you get excited about being from West Virginia, but you all left it. God led me out of West Virginia. I went to the University of Cincinnati on a baseball scholarship. Oh, I had my dreams, my ambition, what I was going to do with my life. And I had one of those moments when God knocked me off my horse. I thought I had it all figured out. And God showed me what was most important. Don't you love how God the Holy Spirit just directs us? Somehow, some way, God directed me to Circleville Bible College. And would you believe, a guy named Doug Carter was the president. To this day, I'm not even sure. It was kind of interesting how I got in. My dad and I called. I think we met him on Labor Day. The school wasn't even in session that day. Next day, I was in class. I think I filled out an application later. Don't talk to him now about doing it that way. God, the Holy Spirit, led me down here to the state of Georgia as one of these PR teams representing Ohio Christian University. Back then, Circleville Bible College. And I meet a Georgia peach just down the road, Lizella, Georgia. I said, what in the world? What kind of town is Lizella? And then they said, oh, you ought to see Musella. Tammy and I have been married 30 years. Wow. Just a few weeks ago, celebrated 30 years of marriage. God's been so good. I pastored for 20 years in the Church of the Nazarene. Pastored some wonderful churches, growing churches. About 13 years ago, God called me out of the pastorate into full-time evangelism. And over the last 13 years, I've literally crossed this country back and forth, traveled the world, sharing this full message of salvation. God has been so good to me. And I stand here tonight, I'm 53 years old. I can tell I'm getting a little older. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like you're still young. I'm getting a little older. I find I'm reflecting more. And more I seem to be thinking back there where I've been and where I've come from. And all the things I've been so privileged to be able to do. 13 years ago, God called me out of the pastorate. Before that, 20 years in pastoral ministry. And I'll just pick on my fellow Nazarenes. I know there's a lot of different groups in here tonight. Church of the Nazarene, I had some churches that had explosive growth. And I'd go to what we call district assembly, our annual meeting every year, and they'd give me trophies. They'd give me awards. In the Church of the Nazarene, we reward performance. You better believe it. I'd come home with boxes full of trophies and plaques and certificates. And, I mean, it was like, you know, they were saying I was responsible for what God did in the church. I mean, that wasn't the case, but I guess they thought they had to give it to somebody. Well, 20 years of that. Going to these district assemblies, 20 years of coming home with boxes full of trophies, plaques, that stuff starts adding up. Did that for 20 years. 13 years ago, God calls me out of the pastorate. I was pastoring a wonderful church out in Oklahoma City. And when I accepted God's call to go into full-time evangelism, you can pretty much pick where you're going to live. Tammy said, we're coming back to Georgia. In fact, she used Louis Grizzard's old line on me. She said, if you ever get me back to Georgia, I'm nailing my feet to the ground. So we come back to Georgia, had a piece of property in Eatonton, Georgia. We built a house there, based the ministry there to this day. But now here's my testimony. 13 years ago, we moved cross country. The house, we're moving in. We've unloaded the truck. We've almost got everything set up. And over here in the corner was a bunch of boxes. And Tammy said to me, she said, what's in those boxes? And I said, well, that's my stuff. That's my trophies. And she looked at me and she said, you are not decorating my new house with all your preaching junk. That's what she called it. Now understand, Tammy let me off easy compared to the wording the Apostle Paul used. You're not decorating my new house with all your preaching junk. And I said, Tammy, it's my stuff. And she finally caved in. She said, well, I guess you can put it in your office down in the basement. And I did. And I mean, I'm talking, I filled all the shelves with all my trophies. I covered the walls. I'm talking floor to ceiling with all the posters and plaques and places I've been and things I've done. I filled it up and I still had more stuff. I said, Tammy, she said, you're not putting any of that junk in my house. And I said, I still have stuff. So she finally caved in one more time. She said, I guess you could put the rest out in the garage. So I did. You come visit me if you can ever find me home. When that garage door goes up, those walls are covered with all my stuff, where I've been, what I've done. But now here's my testimony. Here's my point. I'm getting a little older. I'm reflecting. And every time that garage door goes up and I see that stuff, every time I go down in that office of mine, Tammy was giving somebody a tour of our house the other day, and I heard her when she went downstairs. She went in my office. She said, here's Dave's shrine to himself. But now watch this. Every time I walk in there and I see that stuff, what I've done, where I've been, I think I know what the Apostle Paul was getting at. It's not about all that stuff. And even stuff we thought was good, it's garbage in compared to knowing Christ. And I honestly, church, I've had to take some stuff down and I've had to say, God, I give you this. I empty my hands. Nothing good in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. I want to know you, Jesus. Not more about Him. I want to know you more intimately than ever before. So now I'm going to ask you, what might it be in your life tonight that maybe as we come to camp meeting has gotten into the river? Maybe it's muddied the water a little bit. Or maybe it's taken you away from the time that you need to be giving your Lord. And we need to have a little adjustment of priority as we come together this week. I mentioned the American church earlier because I do a lot of international ministry. I have to say it tonight, church. In the American church, the one thing more than anything else that seems to block God's blessing is materialism. And I know there's people in here, oh, not me, preacher. Not. Compared to the rest of the world, look around in here tonight. You're looking at the top 10 percentile rich people in the whole world. And so many times it's the stuff of this life. I've preached stewardship down through the years. And I've always said this, you know what, folks? One day we're going to die. And you know what's going to happen? Your kids are going to have a yard sale. Okay? And all that stuff that we've been so concerned about, if they don't get a buck or two out of it, next thing you know, there's going to be a truck going to Goodwill or Salvation Army. And I was talking to Tammy about this the other day. I said, we don't have children. There won't even be a yard sale for our stuff. It'll just go straight to the thrift store. But I think you get my point in here tonight. Everything is considered a loss in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ as intimately as we possibly can. Now let's start bringing this in for the landing. And you know what it means when preachers say in closing? Absolutely nothing, Melvin. He's got it. But I promise we're coming in for the landing. And I'm not going to take time. But there's a story in John 4. You don't have to turn. I promise you it's there. Jesus says to the woman of Samaria. Now you know the story. She's out there in the heat of the day drawing water. That tells us something about her. All the other ladies of the day got their water early in the morning, late at night, cool of the evening. She's out there in the heat of the day. She's an outcast. She's been married 5 times. She's looked down on. And she meets Jesus at the well. And in her mind, can you imagine? She's thinking, here it comes. More religious speak. Probably some condemnation. Get ready. Here it comes. And Jesus says something to her. If we could only get it in here tonight, we'd never be the same. Jesus said to her, if you only knew who you were talking to, I can give you living water. And you'll never thirst again. Now maybe somebody came to camp meeting this year, and I mean, your life's a mess, and there may be some people in there working 2, 3, 4 jobs, trying to keep your family together, and it's not working. If you only knew who's available to you tonight. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Now I'm going to close with another kind of interesting illustration, and it's a little different for me. I brought my cell phone with me to camp meeting. I never do this. I never bring a phone to church, but I wanted to use it as an illustration tonight, so here it is. I'm kind of old-fashioned. I'm an old throwback. I still like to hold a Bible when I preach. I know everybody else preaches from their iPads and telephone. Everybody tells me out in the crowd that's where their Bible is. I'm just not yet convinced everybody I see on your phone while I'm preaching is on your Bible app. Okay? Yeah. But I did a little research, and you understand, dumb man talking about a smartphone here tonight. And if I get some of these details wrong, kids, you come and correct me after the service. But I did a little research, because I'm not real techie. Now, Tammy is, and she helps me on this. What is this in my hand? It's a telephone. Oh, but it's so much more than a telephone nowadays, isn't it? I mean, my calendar's on here. I travel all the time. My life's on this thing. I mean, this is where we get our news anymore. I do research on this thing. I grew up in a day and time where we had books. Anybody remember real books? And I mean, I had a pastor's study. It had hundreds, if not 1,000 books. My whole library is right there now. One push of a button, one swipe of your finger. I mean, it's amazing. You can watch TV on this thing. You can watch a movie on this thing. I watched the Cincinnati Reds play baseball on this thing. Why? I don't know. They're like the worst team in baseball. I mean, it's amazing. My GPS is on here. It tells me where to go. I told somebody the other day, I have Tammy and I have this. Telling me where to go. But now listen. All this is just 200 years of understanding electricity. And what I'm going to show you here as we close is the power of potential in this room tonight. The power of possibilities of what could happen at Taylor County this week. It's incredible. And yet all of this is 200 years of understanding electricity. We could really say this is the result of Ben Franklin flying his kite. It's the result of Thomas Edison illuminating a darkened room with the incandescent light bulb. See, here's the whole point, folks. Electricity has been around the whole time. But we have just recently tapped in to some of this power in ways we never had before. Think of all of our forefathers that sat in the dark. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we sat without any air conditioning at Taylor County. I mean, I'm thankful for what we have in here tonight. Amen. I was at a camp meeting up in Tennessee 2 weeks ago, and open air, those good folks still kind of believed that God couldn't bless if you had air conditioning. But He can. Somebody say amen. Amen. Think of all of our forefathers sat in the dark. No air conditioning. Now here's my little research on the power of possibility, the power of potential. Dumb man talking about a smartphone. If I get this wrong, correct me later. You start with kilobytes. Low level. And then you go up to megabytes. And then you go up to gigabytes. That's where we're at right now. But they're already talking about terabytes. And I promise you it's going to keep going. Now remember, dumb man talking about a smartphone. I don't know a megabyte from a mosquito bite. But now here was my research. It takes 1,024 kilobytes at the low level to make 1 megabyte. It takes 1,024 megabytes to make 1 gigabyte. And this phone and every phone in here tonight has anywhere from 4, 16, 32 gigabytes. The computer that put a man on the moon in the 1960s had 64 kilobytes. And it was bigger than a refrigerator. What am I saying? We've come a long way, baby. But now let me tell you something, much more than the potential of a smartphone. Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And listen to this, church. He said before he left this world, the works I've done, you will do, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father and I'm sending my Spirit to empower you. What would happen if this were the week? What would happen if we would allow God to just cleanse us in a fresh and anew? And if there's any junk, if there's any garbage in the river, we just say on the first night of camp meeting, I want to get rid of it. I want to know Christ. I want to get down on my hands and knees, cup my hands, and drink from His fountain. Heavenly Father, would You take this home to our hearts tonight? And may we just ponder this truth for a moment. And I want to be very careful here, but I feel prompted to say this tonight. Even in the context of a holiness camp meeting, sometimes we can get so caught up in the tradition of just getting together, and we miss the awesome possibilities of what could happen if we would be wide open to the fullness of Your Spirit. Lord, remind us in here tonight. Your Word said, forget the former things. You're doing a new thing. And so, God, I can't think of a better way to start this camp meeting than to get on our face before You and say, Jesus, I want You. God, forgive us sometimes for just chasing a doctrine called holiness and we've not even embraced the Holy One Yourself. Because, Lord, I'm convinced if we get back to You, we've got it. Holiness is Christ's likeness, Christ within, the Spirit within. So, Father, tonight, compel us. Compel us to You. Again, church, I think there's no better way to start the camp. How many just get up out of your seats now and just join me down around these altars and say, I want everything Jesus has for me this week. Come as Charles just leads us here.